All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Revelation again. Somebody asked me tonight, are you going to finish chapter 19? I doubt it. But there are some neat things here that we want to look at tonight. And let me just say a word about the food distribution that's coming on Friday. The trucks are supposed to be here around 10 o'clock. And we're going to have two trucks come in. One of our church members in the Spanish ministry goes to Church of the Open Door Spanish ministry. But he has an 18-wheeler, and he has volunteered to take his truck. We're going to fill it up along with the one that we're renting. And so we should have an abundance. But we need an abundance. Last time they were lined up all over the property trying to stay off the highway, and we have a good turnout expected, and the weather's supposed to be decent, so I'm sure we'll have a good turnout. Now, we get the trucks at 10, then we start setting up, you know, and trying to get everything so it's quick, and you know, you just pull up in your car, and our folks load your car up, and you just go right on through. And so if we get it set up early, which we're hoping to do maybe a little bit early, folks started lining up last time at 10 o'clock when the trucks came in. I mean, folks, it's tough out there for a lot of families. And some of you are feeling that pinch as well. And I read an article this morning that said every family, the average family, needs about $480 extra, that it's $480 more to live than what it was just a couple of years ago. So the inflation is real, and it's hitting, and this is going to help a lot of people. So pray that we have a good turnout, and pray things go well. All right, let's begin tonight. I want you to, let's start reading at verse 10. The Bible says, this is John telling us this. He said, I fell at his feet to worship him. Now, that's the angel that was announcing the marriage supper of the Lamb. John said, I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath in his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That's amazing, isn't it? That's what's coming. That's the battle of Armageddon that I just read for you. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless, and then we'll get started here. Now, our Father, thank you so much for what we just read. And Father, I thank you so much for the promise that one day sin and Satan and his minions are all going to be destroyed. Father, thank you for that great promise. As I have said many, many times, that when we get discouraged and when we get downtrodden, all we need to do is turn to the back of the book, and we'll get excited because we read of how you are going to prevail and we are going to prevail with you. And that is an encouragement to any believer's heart. And so, Father, I pray you'll bless what we're about to discuss tonight. And I ask you to help me as I speak and bless our folks as they listen. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. All right, we left off last time in verse 9. And I want you to notice here that the angel of the Lord said to John, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true sayings of God. Now, a blunder that is often made is that has often been made in the professing church from Pentecost on. One of the greatest mistakes that has ever been made, and it still happens today, is unveiled for us in verse 10. Now, John got this message from this angel. And this angel told him to write. And so he was obedient and he wrote. But then it says that John fell at this angel's feet to worship him. And immediately that angel said to John, "See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And folks, this is a blunder that has often been repeated in the history of the professing church of Jesus Christ. John fell to worship the angel and was immediately reprimanded. Don't miss that point. You ought to actually mark that in your Bible. I mean, he was immediately reprimanded. The angel says to John that he is a servant of the Lord, just like John was a servant of the Lord. And he said that he was not worthy to be worshiped. Now, we know there's only one who is worthy to be worshiped, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the message that this angel gave to John and wrote right here in verse 10. Now, you know what that means? That means that this whole Pope thing is not right. It's not right. This whole Mariolatry is not right. The worship of Mary, that's not right. All right? We've got to realize that there's only one who is to be worshiped, one who is worthy to be worshiped. And you will notice that once that issue was straightened out, the time now has come for God to settle some accounts with the godless crowd that is and has been running the earth. What is now described has been anticipated again and again and again throughout this book. It has been told that we have been told in this book that it is coming. It has been mentioned several times in the book of the Revelation. And now the story must be told of God's a reckoning with the devil and with the beast and with the false prophet and all of their compatriots. Everyone who has followed Satan and has followed this false religion that is going to be perpetrated upon the world. And now God is dealing with all of that once and for all. Now, folks, understand that all of the details of this battle are not given here. Okay? Like I've said, there are multitudes of places where the battle is described in the Bible. It's described not only here in Revelation, but it's also described in the Psalms. It's described in picture form in the Law. It is described in the prophets, in the major prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. It is also mentioned in the minor prophets. All of them write about this battle and this judgment that is going to fall and come upon the kingdom of Babylon, the beast kingdom. And so this is graphic. This is a very powerful in the things that it describes here. But really, the main focus here is to elevate Christ. It's to make much of Jesus. If you want to find the details, go back into Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel 38, read that. That gives you a pretty accurate description of what's going to happen. I mean, that tells it like it is. All these verses in the prophets that describe it. Go back to Psalm 83. And read the Psalms on the subject. The whole idea is that what John sees here is that battle, but it's not detailed blow by blow description of what's going to happen. Now he tells us it's going to happen, but the emphasis is upon the fact that that the Lord wins. I mean, that's the key. The Lord Jesus wins, and the devil is defeated. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. Now, if you will, look for just a moment at verse 14. It says, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him." Well, those armies are us, all right? That's you, that's me, those of us who know Christ as our Savior. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Now, you say, but Pastor, I don't think I could even get up on a horse. You'll be able to. You're going to have your glorified body. Don't forget that, all right? You're going to have your glorified body. All of your arthritis is going to be gone. All right? Your bad knees are going to be gone. That sense of balance that you used to have, but now you don't have, well, that sense of balance, you're going to get it back. And so you'll be able to sit and ride on your horse that you'll be given. All right, so not only does Christ win, but we win. Don't forget, we are joint heirs with him. So not only does he win, but we win also. All right, now, what I want to do tonight, I want you to look at the verses that I read. We're going to get as far into it as we can get before we have to take another 7-day commercial, but we'll get as far as we can get, all right? So let's start. Number one, we see the Lord's coming described, and that is in verse 11 through verse 16. This is not the same event that we read about back in Revelation 4. All right, this is back in Revelation 4, that was the rapture. That was where the Lord Jesus came in the clouds, as Paul tells us. He steps out of heaven and steps onto the clouds. And you'll remember when he went up to heaven, that two men came to the disciples and asked them, "Why are you gazing up into heaven?" And they then said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come again as you have seen him go." Now, how did he go? Well, a cloud received him out of their sight. And so he's going according to the Apostle Paul, and then according to John here, the Lord Jesus is going to come back in the clouds. And he will then call the church up to be with him. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And here's the good part. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. All right? Forever, we're going to be with him. And so when he comes out of heaven at the end of the tribulation period, all right, don't forget, rapture, ruin, tribulation period, return. So when he comes at the return, we're ever with him. So when he comes, we're coming with him. Okay? And we're going to be riding on horses just like he is riding on a horse. Now, what we are told here in verse 11, we are told about his nature. All right, look at verse 11. It says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Now, if you give somebody a name like Faithful and True, you are describing their nature. You are telling everybody the nature of this individual. And the nature of this individual is that he is faithful and he is true. Now, this, I want you to understand this. All right, I meant to say this a little bit ago, but I went chasing a rabbit. But I'm back on track now, all right? We're back on the trail. So when you get to verse 11, down to the end of the chapter, and you have the second coming of Christ, don't forget the book of the Revelation is the unveiling book. It is the apocalypse, the unveiling. Okay? What is it unveiling? It is unveiling the nature, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he comes out of heaven, this is actually the unveiling. Now, the Lord is coming back to this earth, not having his glory veiled as when he came the first time. All right, you with me on that? You understand that? Hold your place here and go over to Philippians chapter 2 for just a minute. Philippians chapter 2. And in verse 5, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." In other words, God did not think he was, or Jesus did not think he was doing God the Father an injustice by claiming to be equal with God. All right, it was not a slam by him against God. Please understand that. So then he said, but made, notice that, he made himself. He purposely acted. He did this on purpose. Made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a what? Hey, he was God. And yet he took the form of a servant. All right, so that's how he came the first time, folks. He took a form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's when God highly, verse 9, exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So when our Savior steps out of heaven and returns to the earth to begin his millennial reign and to judge the Antichrist and his followers, it is going to be the great unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came the first time, he was veiled. He came the first time and his glory was veiled. Go back to Revelation 5 for just a moment. Revelation 5. And look, please, at verse 5. All right, Revelation 5 and verse 5. It says, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to loose the seven seals thereof." Now, folks, when Jesus came the first time, he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You remember that declaration by John the Baptist? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But when he comes the second time, he's not going to come as the Lamb. He's going to come as the Lion. Now, the Lamb is meek and lowly. The Lion is fierce and dangerous. And Jesus is going to have judgment in his hands. So we have his nature unveiled here. He is called faithful and true. The beast who has ruled for 3.5 years on this earth, and think back to all we have read about him in this book. That Antichrist, that beast, was anything but faithful and true. I mean, he uses signs and miracles and lying wonders to deceive people. All right? And notice that no attempt is made by the Lord to persuade the world that he is king. No attempt is made. You say, well, why is that, Pastor? Because when he steps out of heaven and comes back on that white horse with the word of God proceeding out of his mouth in judgment, and all of us follow and come with him, it's going to be evident. With all that has happened, with all of the judgment that has fallen, with all of the wrath that God has unleashed upon the world. Don't forget, a couple of times we read in the book where the men of the earth were saying, let the rocks fall on us, because they were afraid of the Lord. They were witnessing his power, and he wasn't even there yet. So when he comes out of heaven and we all come with him, every eye is going to behold him. And when every eye is on him, everyone is going to know who he is. There won't be a question. CNN is not going to be there interviewing folks and saying, do you think he's really the Messiah? Do you think he's really Jesus? No, that's not going to happen. You see, folks, that Antichrist did everything he could to convince the world that he was Jesus, that he was the Messiah. But he's not. He's not. And the world is going to understand that. So I'm saying to you that when he comes in, and we read about it in verse 11, that is the unveiling right there. It is summarized for us right in that 11th verse. Amazing, isn't it? So you ought to mark that in your Bible. The unveiling right here. Right here. Put a line, put an arrow and draw it right over to verse 11. All right, so not only that, he's called faithful and true, but we're told in righteousness he judges and makes war. That's the last part of that verse. In righteousness he judges and makes war. You see, the judging has been going on ever since the rapture of the church. All right? That judgment, that wrath started immediately. Now, the false Messiah came along, you know, and he, I'm sure he had answers and he's able to do miracles and try to convince people that he is God. And I'm sure somewhere along the way, can't prove it, but I just common sense, I figure when all this judgment and wrath begins to happen and people are dying, that the Antichrist is going to probably try to stand up and undo what the judgments have done. But he won't be able to do that. You see, the devil's nothing more than a yes man. That's all he is, a yes man. He can't do anything without permission. And he's not going to be able to override the judgment that is coming. So in righteousness, he judges and makes war. The judging, it started with the breaking of the seals in chapter 6. Then it continued with the blowing of the trumpets. And then it continued with the pouring out of the vials. Now, it's time to make war. Judgment's over. And now it's time for the real ball game. It's on. And so the Lord comes back. And when he does, it's the battle's on. Now, folks, realize our Lord, for at least 20 centuries now, all right, he's been patient. He's been very patient. But his patience is going to wear thin one of these days. He has patiently endured man's scoffing and insults and mockery. His name, sadly, has become a swear word that is on the lips of multiplied millions of people every day. Every time I hear that, I want to cringe. I want to cringe. I got on an elevator out in Illinois at the hospital. And of course, out in Illinois, soon as it got time change, everything, the weather went south. I mean, it was awful. You talk about cold. Oh, my goodness. They call it the Windy City, and there's a reason. Well, that wind never stops, and it'll cut right through you. I mean, when it's, you know, when it's zero or even worse than that, and that wind's blowing 40, 50 mile an hour constant, and it's pouring the snow, well, that's brutal. And we had one of our church members have a serious heart attack. And so I got in a car and I drove over there in a blizzard and got in the hospital, and I went over and hit the button to go up to the cardiac unit. And, of course, nobody was out. I had prime parking in the parking lot because nobody would dare go out in that. And so the doors open, and I stepped in. And then I heard, "Hold the door, hold the door." So I put my hand out, and the door opened back up again. And this fella got on, and when he got on, he had on an overcoat and a scarf and gloves and a hat and the whole shebang. And so he shook the snow off his coat, and he unwrapped his neck, and he took his hat off. And then he said, "This blank, blank weather." And I said, "Don't blame God." "What?" I said, "Don't blame God." "For what?" I said, "The weather." "Oh, it's just an expression." I said, "Well, you tell God that." I said, "Man, you ought not talk like that. You don't know what you just did." "Well, what did I just do?" I said, "You just blasphemed God. You took his name in vain and used his name as a curse word." He said, "Yeah, that's what my mother always told me." I said, "Well, you ought to listen to her. She was telling you right." The doors open and boom, he got out there as quick as he could. That all happened in one flight. Folks, listen, it's a shame how man, this world, has treated the God of heaven, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Creator, our Redeemer. And so for all that, I mean, human sin has reached the high water mark, and it is here at this point where it's going to be put down by force of arms. This is serious. By force of arms. There will be, however, little fighting when the actual battle is joined, and it will all be over probably in a short space. Probably quicker than any of us could imagine. But the Bible teaches us he starts in the south, where is now Yemen, called Teman in the Bible. And then he works his way up, and he goes across the creek, and then he comes back, and he goes up around like that, and then he comes back again. Where's he come to? The Battle of Armageddon. So that when he comes there, once he hits there, boom, it's going to be awful. Awful. The judgment that is going to take place. Then notice, oh man. All right, I better stop right there. Mm-hmm. Well, oh man. Well, I'll stop right there. I'm sorry, but we just can't do it all. Can't do it all. One more thing, okay? One more thing. All right. Go back to the book of Joel for just a moment. All right, go back to the book of Joel. This has really become one of my favorite books. I love what Joel says here about all this. All right, if you'll look back at the book of Joel, chapter 2. All right, chapter 2. And I want you to read or follow along as I read. Verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. That's Jerusalem. And sound an alarm in my holy mountain. All right, that's the Temple Mount. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Now, what he's describing here is the day the Lord comes back to fight the battle of Armageddon. He said, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like. Who's he describing there? Us. Us. The army that comes with him. He said, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. Wow. That's pretty severe, don't you think? The appearance of them, that's us, is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. That's us. You say, I'm going to be able to leap from mountaintop to mountaintop? Yep. You sure are. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, you're going to be able to. You can't do it now, but you will be able to when you get your glorified body. All right? He said, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, and as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. There you go, Brian. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. Wow. That's what we have to look forward to, folks. That's the battle being fought right there. All right, we'll stop right there. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for our time together around your word tonight. I pray you'll bless this. We look at this verse and we see the nature of our Savior, faithful and true. And the world has been dealing with the devil, the god of this world, and he is nothing but a liar and a murderer and has been from the beginning. Father, we're going to see when you return, we're going to see the faithful and the true God of heaven. So, Father, bless this to our hearts tonight. Give us understanding of what we have heard. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.